Dental work is important. I did that last year. Mm-hmm. I bit into some. I was chewing gum, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, "What the fuck is that?" Mm-hmm. I was like, "Never mind." Like the next day, gum, same thing. So mm-hmm. finally, I called and I was like, "Do you guys have any appointments?" And they're like, "Yeah. How does like 4 weeks from now work?" And I was like, "Fucking fine."
Well, that's the thing. I have this temporary filling, and now and they're like, "Okay, you can come back in more than a month." And I was just like, "Is that the recommended? Like, or is that just the suit? Like, I just want to make sure. If you have anything opens up early, let me know." And they're like, "No." It was actually funny because they called me the day before. They're like, "We have a cancellation. Can you come in at 9 a.m.? And I was like, "No, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to get up early to then have someone drill in my mouth." Like, that's
okay, because I don't do that. I go right at like 7 a.m.
Oh, no. Like, I was like, "No, I'm not." I was like, "No, I can't do that." So then I show up and they were like moving. They were like they hit me with the Novocaine. It was like a minute later they started, even though in the past they usually be like, "Oh, I'll let it sit for 5.
Yeah.
And then when they finished, I turned to the nurse and I go, "Am I the last appointment today?" She goes, "You are the last appointment." I'm like, "Okay, now I feel bad that I didn't take the 9 a.m. You guys could have been done like a wicked early day, but here I am just like, "No, No, I'll come. I might even be a little bit late."
I mean, I guess you're paying for it. So like, why? I don't know.
I was the only one in the entire office.
That's fine. Well, don't worry about it.
Of course, I didn't care. Meanwhile, because I'm more so I'm like, just fuck it. I want to eat lots of solid food and chew on both sides of my mouth. I don't want to have to focus.
I mean, it's not like you called them in on it. Like, that's the hard stuff. It's like when that happened, like what happened to you happened to someone. It's like they have to go in on like a Saturday. Mm. Then it's like, okay, we're opening up the office like to take care of. Like, so you were there in business hours. You're fine.
Yeah, I know. I'm good. And they've got a lot of my money so far and they're getting more.
They're doing great. Don't worry about keeping them a little bit.
They're doing just fine.
Did you pick a gold, silver, or diamond? What's your
feeling? Haven't had to pick yet.
Really?
Well, because they didn't have it. They're not going to let me pick way in advance. And well, also,
I already had the tooth made.
No. And also at this point, I'm going to be like, yeah, whatever's cheapest, you can just use concrete. I don't care.
I actually found this rock outside. I think it would look really good if we just stitched it in. I think it'll fit. I test fit it myself. I actually can't get it out, so we have to use this.
Well, that's when my father was giving me crap because he's mentioning, like, he's like, you know, years ago I had the same issue, but I didn't have time to get it, a whole crown and everything. So I just said, what's the cheapest thing you do? And the dentist is like, well, I can put this like concrete on, but it'll last like only for a month. Shane, that was 25 years ago. It's still going well. I go, yeah, I'm not playing that risky game of you're lucky to not lose it after 25 years. Meanwhile, I'll take a bite of a PB&J, and I'll be like, it's gone. I swallowed concrete. Great. Cool. Thanks, Dad. Really, now I gotta go back.
Is that, did you think they gave him the Fuji 9?
They did not give him Fuji 9.
Okay.
I know I'll be getting the Fuji 9. People out there who listen, the Fuji 9 is it's just some dental concrete putty that you use in a, you know, the, you know,
tell a your, very high-end dental putty. Yeah,
next time you see your dentist, be like, are you guys using Fuji 9? And see how they react. They'll go, oh my God, you're reading up on my, they'll be happy that you're passionate
will
about
they, or will they just start upcharging you on different things?
They'll probably hold you by your wrist and go, how do you know what Fuji 9 is?
Who told you?
This is an inside. That's an inside thing. No one's supposed to talk about that. And he'll look at the hygienist with them and go, can you step aside for a second?
Start spinning the drill at you?
Yeah.
Who told you this?
Oh, and they were using one of the drills, like, they were soldering. Like, smoke was coming out of my mouth. Yeah. And I was just like, what's this? He goes, no, that's supposed to happen. I go, I don't like it. I don't know. Smoke should be coming out. Like, not that type of smoke.
I feel like I go into a zen-like state of the dentist's office where I'm just like very, it's already, like I'm too chill at that point where I'm just like, here we go, we're doing this. But they like the hygienist starts to talk to me. Even when I'm getting a filling, the hygienist is like chatting and it's like, okay, yo, no. Like there's a hole in my tooth right now. I'm not closing my mouth for shit. Like I'm not moving my tongue. I don't know what you guys got going on in there. It's not happening.
They talked this time all about their kids and their homework. And I was just going to kick out. They're like, math is tough now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but you know, I'm just in there, and they put some like weird mouth guard in that keeps your mouth open.
Oh, those things fucking suck.
It honestly wasn't that bad, but yeah. I was just like, I was more so like, wrist to mouth, like, lattice. I use lattice. That's how I do. They did not care. Once I found out we were the last appointment, it's like, they just want me to shut up. No, we don't want you to talk about your math.
Did they put on music at your dentist's office?
They had it on, but like.
It's 106.7.
They didn't,
or old 106, it used to be like easy listening music.
Just a Pandora or whatnot.
Okay.
The dentist, he was humming every once in a while. And like,
really?
It wasn't bad, but I kept wanting to be like, okay, don't, like, I don't want you humming. Like I want you to like, I'm glad you enjoy your job and your company, but it's like, I don't really want you. It's just like, da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, buddy, like I got some weird rubber thing over my lips.
Scatting over there, my friend. Yeah. So you've been in for surgery before, right?
The appendix.
So know. How do they feel about, how do you feel about like them listening to music while they cut you open?
Oh, not a problem at all.
Okay.
I mean, I remember years ago I was like, can I listen to music while at the dentist? And they're like, you know, we're gonna have to like stop you every 30 seconds and be like, wider, spit. And I'm like, that's fine. But no,
definitely, I think every teenager when the iPod came out went through that phase of like, I'm gonna keep a headphone in at the dentist's office. But it didn't help though.
No, not at all. Because you're still like, I can, the drills piercing through my non noise canceling headphones.
Yeah.
But no, I don't care if surgeons want to play music. That's I'd probably do it too.
So I was the first appointment when I got my wisdom teeth out, mm-hmm. and I was like 23, and I got them out at Children's Hospital Waltham. So it's like,
wait, you went to the hospital?
So that was the recommended, or like one of the recommended surgeons worked out of Children's Hospital.
Okay.
And I like still fit the bill for whatever reason. Granted, there were small dinosaurs around me the entire time. Very interesting experience.
You just said you're 23 and you went to the Children's Hospital.
And so I'm pointing the sky out to Shane right now because it's a very nice shade of red. That or it's a fireball coming at us. Who knows?
I think it's the reflection of the lamp. I don't see any red.
You know what? Never mind. Yeah. By the way, we're in person. That's one, why we probably sound far better than usual. And two, we have big windows to look out. So I'm in there for the first thing, and they have me with the gas and everything. And I'm trying to like, I'm like going to sleep. I can feel it. And there's Steve Aoki playing, and I can tell. And so I kind of just looked at the nurse. And I was like, what song is this? And she was like, oh, it's like such and such by Steve Aoki featuring like four rappers. And I was like, this is what we're listening to before we do this. I was like, I'm hoping for something like surgical music. Like,
what's surgical music?
Like Bach. I'm thinking like orchestral shit where the guy, like, it's like a, now
you don't
it's
want
be
that
a montage.
Surgeon.
I want a dude listening to trap music about to chop into my mouth and rip out four teeth.
That means he's done this a lot. He's comfortable. The guy who listens to classical music is too high strung.
You think?
Oh yeah, that guy's gonna be the one that's like, if a little extra blood is in the procedure, he's gonna like, everyone stop what we're doing. We're doing exploratory surgery right now. No, the guy listening to Stevie Aoki or Bare Naked Ladies is like, oh, give me a little gas. Everything's fine. This guy's good. You know, if anything, I'll talk to him afterwards about it. Oh, man. So it was in the middle of $1 Million by Bare Naked Ladies. You were bleeding everywhere. So, you know what I wish? If I had $1 Million, some extra gas. Yeah.
Welcome back to Shane Scuba Steve Show. That was Dental Minute. We're in person today. We've got a bunch of new TV show stuff to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
We're also drinking some beverages.
You made the beverages.
I did make the beverages.
Does it have a name?
So here's the thing. It's based on the Starbucks medicine ball, mm-hmm. the secret drink, air quotes there. Because if you go to Starbucks and order a medicine ball, they know what you're talking about. But that's like a lemon tea with like Earl Grey and a bunch of honey. It's really good when you're sick, honestly. Mm-hmm. So we took some homemade limoncello,
mm-hmm.
some ginger beer,
mm-hmm.
and a homemade Calabrian chili simple syrup,
mm-hmm.
and put it all together.
Yeah.
Spicy bit of heaven over here.
It's not too bad. The spice isn't too overpowering. I'm not a big spice guy, but it's mellow enough that I'm not like,
choking.
No.
But it cuts the ginger a little bit, mm-hmm. but it also amplifies the spices of the ginger. It's good. The ginger beer is sweet, and that helps.
Yep, and so is the limoncello.
It is.
House
very
made.
Sweet. House made. Yeah. House made.
You going to sell it? You going to sell the limoncello?
No, I have the limoncello saga is weird because like I ordered specific bottles this year, mm-hmm. and UPS like crunched them, so I had to like audible to different bottles. They were it's fine, it's all right. But yeah, I'm trying to make them more consistently. It's been a good holiday like thing over the past couple of years, but I think I would like to make some throughout the year and mm-hmm. store it. This mm-hmm. year, I made two handles of Everclear worth, which mm-hmm. is like 9 liters.
Did you make an apple pie cello one time?
No.
I feel like, I forget who made it or if I read it, but I just remember being, if you make like an apple pie cello, you can just, once it's made, you can serve it. It doesn't need to like ferment or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Never made it.
Yeah.
People make apple pie moonshine. Yeah. Similar thing, honestly. Yeah. Limoncello is just like lemon moonshine.
Yeah.
When you're mixing the Everclear. I mean, not really because it's made differently, but
yeah.
When you add the Everclear, everything is kind of like moonshine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have that stigma either. If you said, true. I'm drinking moonshine, I'd go, what the fuck's wrong with you? If you said, I'm drinking limoncello, I'd go, that's still weird, but okay.
Well, limoncello's not weird.
No, well, I mean, if you were just like, I'm just drinking limoncello.
It's a great after-dinner drink.
Yeah, after-dinner drink. Digestive. Yeah, but if I walked into your apartment now at 4 p.m, you're like, I'm drinking limoncello, I'd be like, is everything okay?
If I had a pint glass of limoncello, I think I'd be like, you should be like, what's wrong? But if I had like two, like...
I'd hope you have like Tums on the side as well.
Sip Tums.
I'm doing
a
rim of Tums, actually, for my limoncello.
It's not a bad idea, actually, for most people.
No, it is a bad idea.
People need Tums.
Yeah. Not me.
I don't know if Tums have ever helped me. I've definitely taken them. Pepto's helped, I'll be honest.
I remember when my appendix ruptured.
Yeah.
And I walked around with it for over a month. And
how are you alive?
Yeah, it's really just very lucky, I guess. But I remember walking around with it for a month, and like every like couple nights I'd wake up in horrible pain because my appendix had ruptured and my abdomen was just so inflamed. That's why I didn't die. But I just remember I took Tums because I was like, oh, I'm in so much. But like I was like, oh, these Tums are working. No, my body just after an hour of being in horrible pain was like, okay, like I'm done. I can't make you hurt anymore. Yeah.
Adapt the nerve endings.
You know, I remember telling the doctors, like, they're like, you thought Tums would help with appendicitis? I'm like, I thought it was just like bad stomach ache because I ate a whole calzone last night. It's like, you ate a calzone while with a ruptured appendix?
That's probably why your appendix burst, honestly.
No, more than likely. Yeah, that's why. So, yeah.
So we got a new show that started on HBO this week.
Mm-hmm. HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Yes.
That reminds me, actually.
I'm listening.
So shows that have come out on HBO Max recently. Mm-hmm. So like Gemstone Season 2 is out. Euphoria Season 2 is out. Peacemaker, which is the show we're talking about today, came out. Folks on the internet seem to forget television.
Yep.
Because whenever a show doesn't come out with like solid two episode, like solid the entire season all at once, like Netflix started, people on the internet get really testy about it, which is weird. And so many people online had to be like, you guys know like Euphoria is made by HBO, not HBO Max. They're only going to give you one episode. Like that's how this works these days.
Yeah.
But so many people are so used to, like, they've forgotten. All these people who watch Game of Thrones have forgotten that it's one episode a week.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But we've been blessed. We got three episodes this week.
Trace.
Set off the Peacemaker saga very well.
Yeah, honestly. Are we just jumping right into Peacemaker?
Let's do it. Why not?
Okay.
Starring John Cena.
Starring John Cena. We also have in the cast Jennifer Holland. We have Steve Aggie. A brief minor spoiler, Viola Davis cameo. A really great cast.
Danielle Brooks.
Thank you. Do you want to list anyone else?
Robert Patrick's in it.
Yep. Most known from T2 as the T-1000. He plays John Cena's Peacemaker's father. So the premise of the show, it takes place...
Rizwan Manji.
Thank you. Takes place after the Suicide Squad, picking up with Peacemaker, who is getting out of the hospital, but very quickly is picked up by a team of agents who are under the discretion of Amanda Waller and is on a mission to... fight the butterflies. That's pretty much all we're told in the three for episodes. Well, we kind of get a little bit more at the very end of the third episode, but that's pretty much the entire premise. I'll admit, post the Suicide Squad, I wasn't really itching for this show about Peacemaker.
Really?
Not that I didn't enjoy him in the movie or anything like that. I just thought, okay. Mostly, I think, because by the end of The Suicide Squad, you don't like Peacemaker at all. You're meant to dislike him because of what he's done. Spoiler for The Suicide Squad, he kills Rick Flagg, a character who, yes, only in two movies, and the first one's not great, but you at least are invested in him and you enjoy him, and Joel Kinnaman does a great job, yes.
Actually, one quick thing to jump in before Shane continues. For folks that haven't seen The Suicide Squad, the beginning of the first episode of Peacemaker, I thought this was like a little intro, but it actually is the part of the first episode. Gives a breakdown of what happens in The Suicide Squad. So either skip the movie, watch that. You'll get caught up a little bit. You won't have like all the narrative stuff. But you'll get caught up. Or counterpoint, if you haven't seen it and you want to start Peacemaker, skip the first 5 minutes.
Yep.
Or just watch the damn hour and a half long movie.
Yeah. I think it's close to 2 hours.
2, 3, 4 hours. Who knows?
Yeah. But it's possible. Still. But solid show. I'm shocked by how much I've enjoyed it.
Yep.
It's an R-rated TV show, so it's raunchy. Plenty of things that I know can make people upset.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Comments and jokes. But I think they've done a really good job of the character of Peacemaker. He is an asshole. He is someone that was raised by an asshole who we see in the first episode.
A racist asshole.
Yes, correct. A racist asshole. Though, actually, I was going to say, they do a good job, that opening scene where he's talking to an orderly who's cleaning, and he goes...
I mean, he's talking to Rizwan... Manji?
Yes, but I was going to say, he's an orderly, he's mopping.
He's an orderly, but...
Yeah, thank you.
Put some respect on my man's name.
I apologize.
Outsourced.
Yes. But him just being like, you're racist, man. You only kill people of color. He's like, I kill white people. He's like, not a proportionate amount. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll kill more white people. But I think they're doing a good job of showing that, like, yes, Peacemaker is this very flawed character.
Like, incredibly jingoistic character.
Mm-hmm. But... we're seeing there is more to him, that he doesn't truly want that to be his identity.
Yep.
At least we're seeing that more so that post the Suicide Squad, this is someone who's now trying to kind of rebuild himself. And we get a lot of that in the third episode, which we'll get into more as we continue talking about this.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I'm kind of enjoying most, is like, they're not trying to like throw in our face right away, like, no, he's changed. He's a much better person. He still is an idiot. He still is short-sighted. And,
yep.
I'm enjoying that. I'm excited to see where the show goes, though, from there. If he, I don't think he will get a full redemption, nor do I think he kind of...
I think it's going to be a multi-season thing.
This probably.
It's going to be like a one-and-done kind of deal, unless it bombs, which it could.
I don't think it'll bomb, because I was going to say, first three episodes, written and directed by James Gunn. I don't know if he'll be writing or directing any of the other ones, but he's definitely producing. It has his style, great dialogue. The action's pretty solid. The music is a big part of the show, including the intro, which I was so shocked when that intro first played. I was like, wait, what's going on? Is this...
The character of Peacemaker is incredibly campy, and I believe they got some of their early stuff for the Suicide Squad from like the early like 60s, late 70s, or mid 70s like Wonder Woman cartoons, where it's super like the costumes and everything. Yeah. Peacemaker's like outfit is incredibly reminiscent of that time.
Yeah, white pants, bright red shirt,
like blue, well, like chrome helmet, and like blue gloves.
Yep, he's got blue gloves.
Exactly. So it's that. Yeah, you're right. That opening scene's great, where it's. This incredibly choreographed dance number.
The entire cast dancing, but no one's showing like any emotion. That's what I think I like even better about it. In, like, especially when it's like when the second part of the intro starts, where it's like Harcourt, Morn, and Economist like walk. They're all like crazy movements, but no one's expressing anything. But yeah, really fun intro, which I think like even on the third episode, I was like, I've seen this 3 times. I'm not gonna skip it. No, I'm gonna watch it.
I skipped it. I think I'm the third one. I'm just trying to move. You see it twice, you know what's going on.
It doesn't matter. You see their deadpan expressions while dancing. I go, yeah, that's exactly this is how what I feel. Want. Yeah. But yeah, so let's want to dive into more of the plot, like each episode. How do you want to do this?
We can talk overall.
Okay.
I don't know if we need to go break down each one. I mean, he has his best friend's an eagle.
Yeah, Eagly the eagle. I did like that. Like, you don't do your research. He's my sidekick. Who? Eagly. What? And then you learn it is an eagle. A CGI eagle. I don't think there's going to be an eagle.
It hugs him, Shane. It hugged John Cena.
It's CGI.
It's real.
It's not real.
It's real. And here we have Eagly to confront Shane.
Yes.
About how real he is.
But in the first episode, Peacemaker goes home, or to a lovely lady's home.
Yep.
And then turns out she is one of these, quotation, butterflies. And we don't know what that means, but she's a metahuman with super strength. And she wrecks him. This
absolutely destroys him.
A yoked John Cena getting thrown around by...
The first or second episode?
That was the first episode. The first episode ends with the fight.
This is the problem with the three episodes. They all kind of blend a little bit.
No, for sure, I would say... Well, the first
it's a solid arc.
Absolutely. The first two episodes are... dovetailed, where it goes right into the next one right after. The second at least has a day or two in between. But yes, he gets thrown around by this metahuman woman, who then he explodes using his Peacemaker helmet, which has special abilities, which
he got from his dad,
who is...
So do you think his dad was the OG Peacemaker?
No. So we pick up on that, I think it's in the end of the second episode. His father is arrested for he's being blamed for the crime of the murder and all this. So he gets sent to jail. And then when he's in jail, all the prisoners go up to him and they call him White Dragon.
Yep.
A White Dragon in the comics was a Suicide Squad villain.
Okay.
So I believe his father was White Dragon, and like maybe he'll now be the antagonist. Something that I saw was, and it plays into the third episode. So when he goes to his dad, he has this crazy high-tech closet.
Yeah, very, very insane.
Bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, with all this tech, including the helmets that have different abilities like X-ray, and we see a sonic boom one, which is very cool. Someone was saying that they think the villains, the butterflies, which are, as we learned in the third episode, are actual like alien butterflies that get into your brain. People believe that they are going to be a version of the Reach, which are enemies of Blue Beetle.
Okay.
Who have lots of tech, and we see at one point the thing that John Cena or Peacemaker finds transforms into this weird like spaceship type thing.
Yep.
People are believing that's going to be the Reach, and this will help play into Blue Beetles, that they fight the Reach, they learn they're everywhere, and this is what leads them making a suit for Blue Beetle. Who knows? And maybe possibly his father's working for him, because it's like, how does this super racist guy have this kind of tech?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a little outlandish. Who knows? But still is kind of cool when he just puts in the code and you're like, oh god, this is a really
it
nice
goes.
Yeah.
Great CGI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I was going to say, did you watch like the end credits of every episode?
I did not.
They're not really end credits. They're really more so just like different jokes they used.
Okay.
But the first episode ends with, it's back in that room with his father, and he's like going over the helmets. He goes, this one gives you scabies. He's like, why would I want scabies? And he goes, to challenge yourself. Yeah, it's stupid. And I just like, I've watched all of them. They're just extra stupid jokes. And people, I like all the comments were like, are these canonical? Like, is this canon? Did they actually say? It's like, guys, they're just a stupid extra.
Yeah, like, it's this, like a blooper.
Yeah, it's like, this is just another joke that they didn't use. But then the entire second episode is just Peacemaker trying to leave the apartment, which could have very easily just been thrown away, brushed over, you move past it. But they make the, it's about 40 minutes of him just trying to work through this apartment building to get out, going back to the apartment to get his gear and then steal from this girl that he just killed.
He had the entire, like, our little, like, Robin Hood fucking steel sack full of stuff. And by steel sack, folks, I just mean he took a blanket and turned it into a baggie.
Yeah, and he also, the things he stole, just like, I took these CDs, I took these albums. Oh, look at these sticky notes. And, like, a little slinky. Oh, this is great. We then meet, I guess, technically they'll be antagonists, but two detectives who are working the case.
Yep.
Who I do enjoy them. I like their rapport, and I hope to see more of them out of this. Trying to stop him. Peacemaker gets away with the help of Harcourt. And what is the new girl's name, her character name, who we learn is Amanda Waller's daughter, which I'm excited to see how that plays out throughout the show. Because we get a lot of instances of people talking down about Waller and then getting her reaction of just like, oh, is this what they're talking about?
So it's Danielle Brooks.
Yep.
And she plays, I'm pulling up her, the full cast list right now, because Google won't let me Zoom right now. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. She also just got married.
Oh, beautiful, wonderful. Beautiful
wedding photos, if you see them online. Oh, wow. Danielle Brooks plays Leota Adebayo.
That is correct, because Peacemaker says it horribly wrong. She goes, that's not, you didn't, she's like, I like the confidence. He goes, got plenty of that. Mm-hmm. But they escape. And that's pretty much the entire second episode. And then, oh, he also kidnaps a couple briefly. He
does, yep.
Which that whole scene is great as well. Just like,
oh, it picks up though in the third episode too, mm-hmm. which is awesome.
Yeah. And then yeah, we go into the third episode where he has his first contract kill that he has to do for these agents.
Yep.
Of a senator who might be a butterfly, and so is his family. and Vigilante sticks around. What do you think of Vigilante, that character?
All right, so he reminds me of the Deep mm-hmm. from The Boys.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's because it's like kind of, he's kind of like a needy character, mm-hmm. but he's just there. And he's yep. like, but like the Vigilante Mobile, I'm outside for whatever reason. Like right now I'm remembering it. It's like, it's going to be a minivan. He said it out loud. And I was like, it's a minivan. That's yeah. got to be a minivan.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's good to have another like superhero-esque person
yep.
on the team.
Though I will say Vigilante is a far more, I'll say crooked. Character
questionable.
Yes, because we see in the third episode Peacemaker is he's struggling to decide whether or not to kill these kids, even though he's being told like they're butterflies, like you and yep. though once again he does have kind of a right. He's like, I don't know what that means, like you guys aren't telling me anything, and he can't pull the trigger. But then Vigilante, and I actually like how he does it, where he kind of is like, hey man, like you step aside, I got this. He doesn't like just take control of the situation.
Yep.
But then he just guns the kids down, and he's like, oh, Papa Bear, Brother Bear, Sister, here we go. He's far more unhinged about it.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy the character. Something that, it's more of a nitpick than anything, all of his lines when he's wearing the mask are 80 yard. Like you,
okay.
Like that, and of course, like it makes sense because when you look at the mask, it's like that definitely isn't easy to talk in. That definitely doesn't come out.
It's like a knit,
yeah, exactly.
Knit mask.
But that's like the one thing that kind of bothers me when I'm watching him, because I'm just like, I can tell like he did this later. But that's of course just a tiny like production thing where I can't like.
It happens,
of course. But I'm interested to see what they do with that character. I do like that no one gives a shit about it. They're all like, who the fuck is this guy? What's he doing here?
I did really like the lines. They're in bed mm-hmm. Before they find the butterfly, the reach.
Yep.
Paper, like model plane, it looks like.
Yeah.
And they're smoking a joint. And he goes, 2 years ago, I killed you guys for that. They had to legalize it, though.
Yeah. See, that's why, I don't like the character, but that's why he's a different version of Peacemaker. Peacemaker, of course, he's led to believe, like, I'll kill any.
He's got comedic value.
Oh, for sure. But Vigilante is like, when you break any crime, I'll kill you. Like, I don't, yep. like. And even though he tries to tell Peacemaker at one point, he's like, no, we're good guys because we only kill bad guys. It's like, well, your definition of bad guy is very thin of, you know, you could jaywalk and he probably would have killed you.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, no, exactly. More so, especially when he was like, ah, like yeah, 2 years ago, I would have killed you guys for this. It's like, okay, we would not have been friends.
Well,
two years
then.
Ago. We also have in the third episode our first, I guess,
superhero villain antagonist, which is a judo master.
Yep.
Who is 2 feet tall. I love the entire scene of Peacemaker and him just going at it. He's just like, I could fit you in my pocket.
I like how worried about him he was, where he was like, how tall is he? He's like, that's too... Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. I don't want someone with like a millimeter long finger. And then him getting hit in the head with Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
That's good. Not for everybody to consume Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Mm-hmm. Just have them thrown at me.
Yeah. And they're cutting his face, too. That's how hard he's hitting him.
That's because they're Flamin' Hot, Shane.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. They're burned. They're not actually cut. So he got burned.
It's so spicy.
And I also enjoy the scene where Vigilante's getting tortured. And Peacemaker's just like, yeah, do it. I don't care. Yeah, cut off all his toes. Like, do it. I'm not going to tell you anything.
This is going to be a good show. I feel like Vigilante is a good, like, it's not buddy cop, but it's a good foil character for them to be paired up. I'm excited for the rest of it. Yep. I was a little bit questionable. I still haven't, I think, gotten, I don't appreciate DC like I appreciate the MCU content, but I think this is a chance for them to really get the DC Comics Expanded Cinematic Universe.
Well, here's something I was going to say. We haven't talked about it. News of the Flash movie had leaked. Have you heard of any of this stuff?
No, I haven't, but they also diss Aquaman very heavily.
They do, but that's just an easy, like, Aquaman's an easy character
but
to...
But it's funny.
Of course.
He fucks dolphins.
Yeah. But the news from the Flash movie is that, first of all, this will be Ben Affleck's last appearance as Batman.
Yep.
Which, highly expected. He's been very vocal the last few months and even years, being like, yeah, I'm done, like, with all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But that the Flash movie will reset the DCEU.
Okay.
And that Supergirl from the Flash movie will be the new super person.
Got it. Okay.
And the Batgirl from the Batman movie and her show that's currently in production will be the new Bat person.
Interesting. So television forward.
No. That's going to be television forward. Like, they'll be taking their mantles of the Justice League.
Interesting.
So Henry Cavill will also be out. Here's the thing.
Oh, poor thing.
Totally get Ben Affleck not being around anymore. Expected that. Don't. As much as, I'd love to see him do it again, I'm not going to be someone, like, crying in the streets, like, oh, why wasn't he coming back?
Do you think there will be people crying in the streets?
Honestly, no.
I hope not.
There really won't be, because people enjoyed his portrayal, but I think other people were like, no, we got Bat Pattinson coming in soon.
Yeah, wait, so when does Bat Pattinson come? Because that sounds like he's just kind of pointless at this point, or is he historical, because it's old?
His movie's going to be in March.
Maybe.
But they've already said that his movie takes place on, like, Earth 2. They haven't confirmed that it's the same. Yeah, exactly.
They haven't established Earth 2.
Exactly. They're very complicated. And I doubt that he'll be coming into the fold anytime soon.
At every turn, they're wrong. I hope you realize this.
No, absolutely. But it's the fact that Henry Cavill might not be coming back. That's really what bothers me. Because it's like, I think he's a great embodiment of the character. And you see that he has a passion for it. And pretty much he has a passion for everything that he's been doing. Like, you hear stories of him on, like, The Witcher, and, like,
he's good at the stuff he does.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, he's quoting book, like, pages, being like, oh, that's on 285. And people are like, how do you know this? It's like,
because he's a method actor.
He's not that method. If he was that method, he'd, like, live in a barn. He's still
grow his hair out.
And also, he plays, like, Warhammer 40K, like, in between scenes. Like,
good for him.
Yeah, so that's not a method actor. Method actor wouldn't be doing that. But
it's my method.
I just want more of Henry Cavill as Superman. Like, I have no real problem with bringing a Supergirl into it and her being a major player. Mm-hmm. But the idea of, like, because those are legacy characters who are built after we know our main characters enough that we can, like, the history of them. But it's like, we don't have enough of Superman to bring in a legacy character. We've only had Man of Steel, BVS, which he's not even that much in it because it was a lot of focus on Batman.
Yeah.
Which is
Batman's fears.
Yeah. And then he dies, and then he comes in the back half of Justice League. So it's hearing those rumors, I was just like, what are you guys doing?
Well, hold on. You can always give them the chance to kind of restart.
For sure. I'm willing to let them restart, but it's like,
what if they want to try a legacy character as a tentpole? You never know.
I just want more Henry Cavill as Superman. Like, I don't care if they want to be like, Supergirl is going to be the new Supergirl, but I want confirmation, like, but Henry Cavill will be back. Like, we're going to figure something out with him.
You never know. He might be.
I don't know.
It's okay. Do you want a personal appeal? Should we call him?
Maybe.
Should we dial him in right now?
I don't know. He's trying to make a Red Dead Redemption movie.
I don't know how that would go.
It'd have to be a series. You wouldn't be able to make it a movie.
Yeah, it could be a good, like, but we have Deadwood.
True.
I haven't watched Deadwood, though, in years.
Yeah.
Have you?
I've only seen, like, 5 episodes. Not
how
that
many,
I.
How many? Was it, that was a multi-season show. That wasn't a limited series.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, then when it came back for like a revival.
Interesting.
It did just one season.
I started watching Peaky Blinders last week.
Oh, wonderful.
I made 4 episodes before I gave up.
You going to get that haircut?
No.
Although I do have a, like, I go short on the sides.
Yeah,
you go two yeah. down.
No fighting. No fighting. No fucking fighting. And he fights someone right away.
I think I'll try to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, I don't have to like keep up with anything mm-hmm. anymore, but yeah. Seems decent.
Yeah.
I watched a man get married off. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, Peacemaker.
Peacemaker. It's, I really enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it 100% more than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I think the Peacemaker character kind of fits a mold of like formerly like a heavy American stereotype. And there's a scene in the diner. The diner scene's great.
Yep.
Where they're ordering food. And I think he calls the waitress, what, Sweet Cheeks?
He calls her Sweet Cheeks.
And there is then discourse at the table about how using that language anymore mm-hmm. is different versus him calling someone sugar tits, mm-hmm. which saying out loud now on our podcast is hysterical to me.
Yeah. Well, I will say also, he didn't mean it in the way that everyone thought he meant, because he's like, she has really nice, like, rosy cheeks. And they're like, that's not what the cheeks are ass. And he goes, oh, my, and like, you can see he's like, oh my God, oh, I didn't mean that.
He's just so far behind the times. Yeah. And I think, we didn't really brush over this, but in the first episode, he escapes from the hospital.
Yep.
And goes on the run with, like, the Suicide Squad, last, like, what is it? Last house on the left, last cabin on the left, whatever it is, that, like, the underground people. The Economos, those people.
Yes.
So remember how in the Suicide Squad, they're kind of behind the curtain, like, controlling, yes. a little control station.
Yes.
That was reminiscent, we talked about back then, like, I forget, Cabin in the Woods mm-hmm. was that, like, spoof of all those horror movies where they're all in the basement, like, mm-hmm. sending out different, like, scary things.
Yep.
Those folks have that feel to me. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm trying to tie it all back. They help the show. I like, seeing them in the opening credits, I was like, okay, cool, this is, like, mm-hmm. this carries it forward. And I think, back to my original point, before I went on the tangent, is that he escapes and he takes a taxi back to his trailer mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, see, we're so used to like superheroes who, like, Bruce Wayne lives in Wayne Tower and it's a massive penthouse with a helicopter pad, Tony Stark, and you know, like, the Sanctum Sanctorum, and you have
Tony Stark's in the Sanctum Sanctorum.
No, but you have where superheroes live. Fuck you, Shane. And then you have Peacemaker in a trailer park,
a red, white, and blue trailer
with where he has to break a window to get in and then roll onto his bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It's an interesting, it's like, it feels almost like Humble Beginnings, mm-hmm. humbler beginnings.
Yep.
So it's an interesting way to start compared to what for sure. superheroes usually portrayed as.
Yes. But I do enjoy his crew that he's working with. It's great to see them come back from the Suicide Squad. And they're all different characters, have different agendas. Harcourt's trying to just make a career out of this. Economist is just the tech guy who...
Yeah, he's nice.
He's nice. He's really good. I love the scene with him. Like, did you change the registration? Yeah. And you guess who I did it to? You changed the registration to Peacemaker's father. You didn't think that would be an issue? Well, I didn't know if you were peeing or pooping. Why does it matter? Morn, who's leading this group, who we're not getting too much background. Mern. Who's a mercenary for hire, who did some things that people are like, oh, that's tough.
Is his name interesting that it's Mern and he's a mercenary?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mern.
Yeah. And then Waller's daughter. It's a good crew.
Yeah. It's a great like set of characters. Mm-hmm. It fits really well. I don't know how many episodes are going. I feel like it's 7. It might be 7 or 8.
I was gonna say somewhere 8 or 9, but who knows? It could be 6 for all we know. I mean, hey, Hawkeye was 6 episodes. Mostly.
True.
Yeah, so.
True. I'm double checking right now.
It's probably gonna be like 8 or 9.
It's actually 37.
Maybe.
Imagine if someone did a show that long. That's a soap opera.
Well, I was gonna say, maybe they just greenlit 3 seasons up front.
Do you think anyone's ever done that?
Depending. I do,
like,
know
how many would you greenlit at once if you were a studio head?
I think I would easily give like 2 at a time, because I feel like when you just give one, that's so compact. But I do know the show. It's gonna be 8 episodes. I do know the show New Amsterdam on NBC, which is a medical drama. I know in the middle of their first season, it was greenlit for 5 seasons.
What the fuck?
Mostly because they're seeing the viewers, that people are connecting with it, and it's also like a decent medical drama. Even though I can go on rants, like, I actually enjoy the show.
Yep.
But I have so many problems with it, because, like, from a medical aspect, it's like, why is the chief of cardiovascular surgery the one helping someone on the side of the street? Shouldn't anyone that's in the ER, which they're right in front of, be the one running outside? No. This guy who was on the third floor took an elevator downstairs because he saw someone on... No, that doesn't make any sense. And also, there's like a trauma room where it's like, it's as big as this apartment, but there's just one bed. I'm like, you could fit six other beds in there.
What if they need space?
It doesn't matter. I'm done talking about New Amsterdam right now.
Okay, well, I want to talk about another medical drama that's on CBS called Good Sam.
Good Sam?
Good Sam.
I don't know that one.
It doesn't make any sense. I've been getting like TikTok hashtags and ads for it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite literally called Good Sam, which to me, I thought it was like, I saw the hashtag Good Sam, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, like Good Samaritan. No, that's simply not the case. Mm-hmm. It's Good Sam.
What's the shtick of the show? We are running
out. The shtick is, let me give you the premise.
Yeah, what makes it different than any other medical drama?
Very quickly. Heart surgeon Dr. Samantha Griffith, mm-hmm. Played by Sophia Bush,
mm-hmm.
becomes the top surgeon at Lakeshore Sentinel Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
What fucking name generators do they have?
Mm-hmm.
After her boss and father, Dr. Robert Griffith, mm-hmm. Griffith, played by Jason Isaacs, mm-hmm. falls into a coma.
Ah.
Her life becomes complicated when he awakens and wants to resume surgery, which means Samantha would be supervising him. How does Good Sam play into the word good? And then Sam, I guess, is short for Samantha. I figure it might be like Good Samaritan Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that. Oh, there we go. Like Grey's Anatomy, the mm-hmm. Grace Sloan Memorial.
Mm-hmm. That's stupid. That's good a stupid Sam. Name.
It's a fucking stupid name.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other shows that had really bad names and I had to keep like changing them to be like, this isn't any better.
See, the thing is, naming a show is hard, but it's like, it's not. This is Good Sam.
The only one I can think of is...
That's just two words.
Star Trek Enterprise was just called Enterprise for the first two seasons. And then the UPN was like, we're going to start calling it Star Trek Enterprise so more people know it's Star Trek.
Versus Enterprise. This is business. We're talking about business.
Meanwhile, all the writers and the cast are like, I'm pretty sure anyone watching the show isn't like, wait, this is Star Trek?
They probably thought, too, that if we drop the Star Trek, people will get people because they think it's not Star Trek.
Exactly. And then... Well, they tried. I know you don't watch Star Trek, but... Enterprise is the most like
I can do it though
90s 2000s show because it's like kind of over sexualized. Like there are multiple scenes throughout the series where it's like, oh, we're going down to this planet, so we have to rub this decontaminating gel all over our bodies, and like they get the hottest people on the show to be like rubbing each other down, like lifting their shirts, and it's just like, this isn't Star Trek. I'm getting weird feelings. This isn't Star Trek. You guys are...
They cut this from somewhere else and pasted this in.
Yeah, pretty much. And like every other episode, it's like someone lying in a bed just like, oh, man. Oh, I can't believe we're out in space. It's like, okay.
You don't do that? You just wake up in the morning like, oh, I'm on Earth.
I don't wake up in the morning. I wake up in the afternoon. Yeah.
I got texted you today. And I was like, I should text the Shane like this morning, let him know. And then I was like, he's not going to see this until noon.
Yeah. No. You want to talk... Anything else you want to talk about with Peacemaker?
I like Eagly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good character. Like, it's a good, like, add-in choice.
I did like that part where it's like, just put your arm out the window and make a crinkling sound. He'll think you have chips. You shouldn't be eating chips.
Because the scene of the guy, they look out the window and he's like, is there an eagle in your car? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I also did appreciate he goes to visit his dad after he's going to jail, like, trying to reconnect and, like, get everything back. He goes, you take Eagly out like twice a day? He's like, yes, I take Eagly out. And he opens it up and Eagly is just on a perch in the garage. And I wanted to be like, it would have been really sad if Eagly was like fat.
Yeah, like, I kind of expected that almost. Be like,
fat, this like just bags of Cheetos around him. Yeah. But
oh yeah, I take him out every day. Yeah. But I'm enjoying the show. I'll be excited. The episodes come out on Thursdays. We got 8 episodes. So we got 5 more.
Thursdays?
Yeah, Thursdays. Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So... I'm excited to see where it goes. You want to give the 3 episodes a preemptive total score?
Yeah. I'm going to give it an 837 out of 1,000 moving your partner into a hotel with a dog
mm-hmm.
while working for a secret government organization. Because yep. I thought that was a nice subplot for the first 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm. I did like the part of it just like, do you think because I put him in costumes he'll be more of a target? I don't know. Just get rid of Just get him out of there. I'm going to give it a 875,000 out of 875 out of 1,000.
Thank you for not going to our 100,000 point rating scale yet.
Orders of zoodles. And they're zucchini noodles. Yeah, no one cares about that. You call her sweet cheeks.
It's so, I think it was great because it's just so, the first part swings so like classic a toxic masculinity. There we go. I'm trying to find the words. And then it swings to Zoodles. And you're like, who the fuck? Have you ever had Zoodles?
No.
They're wet.
Yeah, I bet.
They retain their moisture very well. It's hard to cook with because they're Zoodles.
Also, I'll just say, I am getting a far better appreciation for John Cena in this. He really is funny. And like it's even in that scene where like she puts the food in and he goes, I'll play a little eggshells real quick. Because he like rotates, like, I want to have the salad first. It's like, that's such a stupid line that definitely wasn't in the script. But I was just like, oh, this will work. But yeah, I'm excited to see where this show goes. I hope.
Me too.
I'll be shocked if James Gunn is directing the rest of the show. But if he does, great. I'll take as much as him. Because... Because, yeah, the action in this is pretty solid. It has great choreography. So, yeah, I'm excited to see where the show goes.
Oh, hold up. I'm still on the Good Sam.
No, you're fine.
But five episodes have been listed. They'll air until February, and then we'll see where that show goes.
Yeah.
Hopefully nowhere. Sorry. The name doesn't do anything for me, folks, and that's the problem. The fourth episode of Peacemaker is entitled The Chode Less Traveled. And it's spelled Chode, C-H-O-A-D. Written and directed by James Gunn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, interesting. I wonder if he'll be doing the entire show.
Let me find out for you. Give me 30 seconds.
Yeah, but it's a solid show. Yep. Everyone should check it out. HBO Max. Episodes are released on Thursdays. If you like the DCEU, if you like John Cena, if you like raunchy comedies, this is for you. You'll really enjoy it.
I am going to go out on a limb. Mm-hmm. I've only seen the first 7 episodes.
Yep.
Because the IMDb web app is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so episode 7 was directed by Brad Anderson, but written by James Gunn.
Okay.
And episode... Oh, fuck you, you stupid website. Stop moogling. There we go. Okay, so episode 8 is written and directed by James Gunn. So there's only one where he didn't direct, which is episode 7.
He had a cold that day.
It's the worst episode.
Yeah. Honestly, it would kind of be funny if it were. It's like, this episode is completely different. They just shifted everything.
They're going to space for an episode. Yeah. Like, no establishing points. They're in space.
They're just there, yeah. And everyone's just talking about events we all missed. Oh, my God. Ever since Rachel showed up. Who's Rachel? What's going on?
It's going to be, oh, yeah, we aired this one out of order accidentally. Yeah. Do you think, how many layers do you think when it's a streaming service like this, does it go through before they air an episode? Like, that's like not like, so like when we're uploading the episode, how many folks do you think it goes through to be like, okay, make sure this episode 4 is this episode 4? Did the intern label the file wrong? Is it episode 4?
Probably way more than we think, but
I mean, I think there's a lot.
But also, I was going to say the majority of those people looking at it don't actually do like much. I feel like it's more like the file's just going from them to be like, process it. Got it. Now you make sure the color's good. Got it. Okay. And I think they have it pretty well staged out. And also, I would say we're in a far different age of how media is consumed, because actually it was I was watching like a documentary on Star Trek, and how it used to work was for The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, and you know, those two shows, they weren't on one single network. They were going by regional networks, so they aired the episodes. Okay. But because of that, episodes weren't always shown at the same time or in the same order.
Interesting.
So then that's why when they went to UPN, they made Star Trek Voyager, like, it's going to be on this network. That way, every episode's going to release at the same time. Because a big problem that Deep Space Nine was, they were the first show to be like, we want, like, a long season arcing stories, and we want to have, like, things actually impact and continue on. But the networks were concerned, because they're like, well, not every cable network that's getting the show is going to be airing at the same time. And they're like, no, like, we'll work with the everyone to, like, try and make sure you get things in order. That way, you're not seeing 3 episodes ahead, and you're like, why is the station on fire? This doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
But I think these days now, it's. I think the bigger problem these days would be just more like, oh, no, we released everything at once by accident. Like, we hit send all instead of, oh, no.
Did that happen recently?
The only thing I can think of was the Snyder Cut.
Oh, right.
People were
right.
having, if you watched the Tom and Jerry on HBO Max, you were watching the Snyder Cut, and like a handful of people like got to watch the entire thing real quick. And then once Twitter was like, it's out right now, they were like, get this down now.
Take down the entire thing. We don't need the revenue.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's okay.
So that's Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Great show. Check it out on Thursday, as Shane said.
Yeah.
We do have another show that we've been watching.
Yes, episode 3.
Episode 3 of The Book of Boba Fett.
Yes.
What do you think?
Probably the weakest episode.
You think? Cameo and all.
Who's the cameo?
Wasn't the cameo that fellow?
The Wookiee, Black Kristen.
No, the water trader. I thought he was the cameo.
He is a cameo. Yes, I was thinking when you say cameo, I think of like an already established character, not like an actor that we recognize.
Okay.
He was good to have in it. So the premise. Well, now we're jumping into Book of Boba Fett episode 3. Thank you. This episode picks up. Boba is greeted by who's in Barry. He played the guy in the Office Space who wants his stapler, and he tells him that these ruffians have been stealing water from him, and he'd like him to take care of it.
Have the Daimo take care of it. Because he's embarrassed for...
On his behalf. I'm embarrassed on your behalf. He says it like 3 times.
I was just saying that to people like for other things.
Mm-hmm. So Boba Fett goes to stop these ruffians, but then instead of stopping them, he goes, do you guys want a job? Like, have you guys just work for me? And they quickly were like, yeah, sure. Like, we want work. That's not a problem. The episode then continues. We get another flashback of Boba in the desert, and we learn what happened to his clan of Tusken Raiders,
yep.
Who were killed, which I was a little disappointed in. I was hoping maybe we'd see them later in this series, like popping in.
Like family.
Yeah, or like at one point he's like, I need an army, and then he just goes out to them. But they were killed, though we don't see the two characters we don't see specifically were the little boy, Tusken Raider, and the woman who fought and trained him. Those are the ones. We see the chief and he's dead.
Yep.
So who knows? We'll see another flashback of those two.
He Viking funerals them.
Exactly. Which actually, I think pretty much every funeral in the Star Trek universe is always someone getting cremated.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars. I think I said Star Trek. That's my bad.
They've established that that's the most efficient way.
I think so. Because I mean,
they don't have a lot of land, honestly, when you think about it. Most of those places don't have land.
Yeah, exactly. But we had the flashback. Then Boba is awoken, being attacked.
Ripped. I'd say less awoken from ripped.
Ripped out of his sleep tank.
It's a bactopod.
Thank you. Okay.
He says it.
I know he
does. I think he calls it a bactopod.
He does, but it was more so because I was preparing myself to say Black Chrysanthemum.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't say the bactopod at this. Anyway, he rips him out of there and attacks him. It's a decent fight. Then his crew of new ruffians show up.
Yeah,
and
his biker squad show up.
Yep, they force him into the Rancor pit, and then very soon after that, the twins once again come to the palace. But now they're apologizing. They're saying, "Oh, we didn't mean to attack you. Everything's fine. We're gonna leave. So here's a Rancor for you, and everything's settled." And then,
yeah, we're good.
Yep, Boba sends the Wookiee on his way, be like, "Hey, you know, it's just business."
Well, they wouldn't take the Wookiee back.
Yeah,
they offered it as an offering.
Well, here's the thing. That I saw someone mention is that Boba goes to him, it's like, I want you to renounce your claim to this land,
yep.
and you give it to me. And they never say that. They just go, oh, we're going to leave, and like, hey, do what you want with him. Like, we don't care. They never say that.
So they also recommend that he leave. They
exactly.
Say, we're going to leave, but you should leave, like, and you should leave too. There's nothing worth anything here.
So I'm thinking there's still like...
Scheming.
There's a lot of scheming going on. Yeah. I don't know if there's going to be like a big bad, or if we still have like everyone that's been announced is who it is. But there's like that wasn't them being like, oh no, we're gonna leave. It was more so like, we're gonna let you fight the Pikes, and then we're gonna just like wait till one of you dies, and then we'll move in. But he sends the Wookiee on his way. They go back to the mayor to try and talk to him, and then here's where the episode really kind of bothered me was we get a speeder chase through the city of Mos Eisley. It didn't seem fast.
It wasn't
all.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
It's like a. It looks so. It's like it reminds me of like a vintage car chase because it's like the mayor's in like this classic like looking speedster.
Not the mayor. His assistant.
The mayor is in the speedster, and the biker gang that he's recruited of ruffians that he's recruited to work for him are like riding like they're like speeder bikes, but they're not like classic like
they're like scooters.
Yeah,
they really
basically
are
basically scooters, and they have like they look like little hot rod scooters, and not like Star Wars tech. It's like it literally looks like a 50s Cadillac scooter.
I thought they were. Rascals, like the old person. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if they got Rascals, painted them, and like decked them out, and the wheels are just removed digitally.
Yeah.
But that whole chase kind of bothered me because it's such a tight city.
Yep.
And you know the speeders can go really fast, but because it's so tight, they can't. The entire time watching it, I was like.
It is like a Rascal chase in a Walmart.
Yeah. And honestly, and at the end of the chase, like Boba shows up because he took his jetpack.
Yep.
I was like, he could have just jetpacked the entire time. Like, he didn't even need, like, chase him down. It's like, no, you could just fly next to him the entire way into the city and, like, just get ahead of him.
He's trying to be economical, Shane. Clearly, they're not collecting enough tribute.
Probably. And more so, he's probably like, I want to see you guys actually do something. I want to see you use your weird stomping robot foot with a knife at the bottom.
I love that that's how they pitched the, like, the briefing on these ruffians is like, yeah, they use droid parts to their the guy from Barry is like pitching them. It's like, you think about they use droid parts to make themselves more dangerous, and you're like, these just seem like punks.
Yeah. Like, and also you gotta think, like, how many people already in the Star Wars universe use, like, robotic parts? Like, Luke has a robot hand.
Yep.
Fennec has a robot stomach that we see in The Mandalorian season 2. So it's like, yeah, everyone does this. This isn't like a new, like, but then that episode ends with they see that the Pikes, who are a criminal organization, have come to Mos Eisley, and he's just like, that the joke kind of did bother me too, and he's like, keep an eye on him. Oh, I didn't mean anything. And it's like, nah, man, like, I paid for the eye, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, and also it's like, yeah, that is an expression. Like, it would have been more so it's like, keep a stomp foot on him. Oh, I didn't mean anything like that.
Keep a laser eye on them.
Yeah. But this was kind of, to me, like, one of the weaker episodes. This, I think, finally has set up, like, now we know, okay, the Pikes are coming into the city to try and take over. Boba's got to try and probably work with these other crime families, be like, no, we're not going to let them. So things are finally put in place, but it was just a whatever episode to me.
What did you think of the Danny Trejo Rancor trainer
I will admit,
side plot?
Seeing Danny Trejo was a delight. Forgetting that Robert Rodriguez, him and the two of them are good friends, so that's probably why he's like, hey, you want to come in and be a Rancor trainer? You're like, sure. I love hearing Danny Trejo, like, say Star Wars things, like, the witches of Dathomir used to ride them into the fires and fern. It's like, what the, like, I want to know what he thought when he saw that script, and he's like, you want me to read this? He's like, yeah, please. And he's like, you know, I'm machete, right? Like, man, I don't do this, but
he's in Far Cry 6.
Yeah. But he was good. I like the little Rancor, but that's definitely setting up where he's like, I want to ride it. It's like, okay, we're going to see Boba ride that at the end of the season.
Well, you see him in this flashback. He's riding a, like, that's not a Bantha.
No, that is a Bantha.
It's so fucking slow that he actually ends up getting off it and running to the Tusken Raiders camp because everyone's dead. But it's like, if you're riding that, it's slow.
Yeah.
He's ridden beasts 10 times the size of a Rancor.
Yeah, but it's the save your feet. You know, you ride that, that's still easier than walking across the desert yourself.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
What animal do you think you'd ride across the desert if you had to?
Tauntaun.
No, I mean, like.
That's a Tauntaun, everybody.
If you had to cross the Sahara today, what animal would you pick? But it couldn't be like a horse.
I'd put a humpback whale on a tractor trailer and then just get one good push and it would take the rest of the way.
The gravity would go?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I don't want to sit on top of a whale. That seems disgusting.
It seems very gross if it dries.
Oh, my God. That sounds like...
If that would be you running back and forth with a bucket, just keeping it very wet.
I guess a camel. I'd be a smart guy and use the animal that's known to cross deserts.
Okay, well, I wasn't going like, you have to be practical here.
A big wolf, then. A dire wolf from Game of Thrones.
This is going in the wrong direction, folks. But the show was great.
Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy the show, but this definitely, I feel, the first episode, I didn't enjoy the pilot that much. This episode, I don't like.
Okay.
I enjoy the pilot more than I've enjoyed this, simply because also another kind of problem that I had with this episode was when they do the flashback, they show a very young Boba on his planet looking at his father flying away. I'm like, we saw this exact thing last episode during his, like, vision quest.
Yeah.
So I was just like, this is quite literally recycled footage now. So
it is, it felt like a midline episode. Mm-hmm. I think it's not a nothing burger completely, and there's not a lot of good action here, but there's some storytelling that happens. It'll push things forward.
Here's a question for you. Some theories I've been hearing. Do you think Fennec is going to betray Boba Fett because she's the last one to show up to fight the mercenary Black Rustan? She shows up, like, at the very end. And even her and Boba, like, kind of share a look of him. Like, he doesn't say anything. I mean, he's just like, like, how did this Wookiee get all the way in and no one snapped him? And you're my right hand and you're the last person to get here.
She got sleep.
True. But I saw that theory and I was like, I can kind of see that happen. Especially because, like, throughout this entire show so far, like, everything she suggested he should do, he's been like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it my way. So I feel part of her might be like, yeah, no, like, you can't be this type of crime lord. You can't take
yep.
Tusken Raider values and try and run a criminal organization. You have to lead by fear. You can't lead by respect. So who knows? I kind of
maybe.
Once again, though, I want more from Fennec. Like, this is another episode where she hasn't really done anything. Like, yeah. She gets some good, like, snarky remarks, but, like, she's not doing much. And now that he's brought in this new crew with their own, like, tough cybernetic chick, I'm just like, are they pushing her to a side? So
you never know. We'll see. I don't think she's like gonna. She's. I don't think she's aligned mm-hmm. with whomever our big bad is. Mm-hmm. But there could be a betrayal. You never know.
Yeah. But yeah, this wasn't my favorite episode.
Sorry. What do you want to give it as a rating?
Like a 650 out of 1,000 guards. Carrying the Jabba twins, looking at the hovercraft that's carrying the Rancor, and just being like, why the fuck aren't we using a hover thing? Why are we here? There's a hover thing. That's those guys.
What language do they speak? Is it
the Jabbas?
Yeah, is it like I think a written language, or is it like...
I don't know, because there is a language from Star Wars that is written, and you can translate it, like okay. certain writing. I don't know. I think they're speaking like Huttonese. I believe that is the... because they come from the planet of the Hutts. I think that's what they're speaking, but I don't know if that's like translatable, like other language.
Hada.
Yeah. But I know they speak a specific language, but I know like you can see anytime you see writing on the walls in any Star Trek, Star Wars, movie or show that can be translated. There's like a whole thing.
Okay. Interesting.
But I know it's not, I don't think they have a deep dive like, oh, this is what the Hutts speak. This is how Wookiees speak, even though Wookiees is just garbage. Like, that's all just more emotional, less about the actual sounds they make.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. What do you want to give this episode?
I was going to give it a 727 out of 1,000 taking your helmet off to recruit ruffians.
Yep.
Because they didn't take him serious with the helmet off.
Of course, you got to show respect. Yeah. Show him your eyes. The eyes are the window to the soul.
That and the other is the same scene, but when he goes to the water trader and he's just like, you're going to lower your prices too. It's yeah. like... Okay.
Yeah.
The ruffians weren't wrong.
No, they weren't wrong at all. Just going about it the wrong way.
True. Very true. That's Book of Boba episode 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the people where they can find us?
You can find us in a boat load of places. You can find us online at www.thechainofscubasteveshow.com. You can find us on Instagram at Shane Scuba Steve Show. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. Maybe on Google Play. Go check us out. Maybe we'll be there. And if you're there, give us 5 stars.
Give us 5 stars on Spotify.
Give us 5 stars. Give us a review. Subscribe. Like us. Call your optometrist.
Optometrist.
Optometrist. Give your
get your eyes checked.
Get them checked. And whoever's in your speech therapist, talk to them too, and see if you can get me an appointment, please.
Speech pathologist.
Yeah.
I'll see my optometrist soon.
Oh, see if he knows a speech therapist for me.
Sure, they're very related.
Oh, yeah, yeah, let me go check my catalog of speech therapists. Yeah.
I keep a list.
Yeah.
But that's our show this week.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Coming to you live from the second bedroom of Shane's apartment, this is the Shane and Scuba Steve Podcast.